Hi, this is Matt Haig, and thank you for listening to Hanshin Tigers English News.
That's right, everybody. It is Hanshin Tigers English News H10 time once again. Thanks for joining us for episode 37. And you thought episode 37 would result in number 37 giving us a voice in. Sorry, Morikoshi fans, to disappoint you. Couldn't get a hold of him. He couldn't get the words out in English. The team wouldn't clear him to comment out. I was too lazy to go to the ballpark. The dog ate my tape recorder, all that stuff. This is T-Ray. Thanks for joining me. I'm here with my co-host,
Jimbo.
Yes, it's Jimbo again, and it's great to have you back again. Thank you for joining us last week and again this week. Appreciate it. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Now that I got two in a row, I'm doing better than the Tigers.
Ouch. Aye. Yeah, the Tigers don't know how to put two in a row together of anything except losses. Okay, well, let's not go there.
No.
So I'll tell a little story just to intro us in here. It's a story that I kind of like to tell every now and then, but a few years ago, I was sitting around at my mom's place, and I picked a book off the shelf, and I read the first chapter, and I thought it was a really compelling, really exciting chapter, and I looked at the book title, and it said, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Cool. Sounds exciting. I heard it was a bestseller, so I actually eventually picked up the entire trilogy for my Kindle because it was a lot cheaper to buy three books as opposed to buying them individually. And I thought, well, if they're as good as that first chapter was, then they've got to be something pretty awesome, and they're bestsellers. So I read the first book, and it was, you know, pretty entertaining. And towards the end, it started to slow down, but it was still a pretty good read. Dug into the second book, and it was starting to get a little bit dry. The action was slowing down. There were more descriptions of IKEA furniture and what she bought at every trip to the grocery store. And I was, you know, how many cups of coffee can this girl drink? And it was starting to get really tiring. By the third book, this thing was an out-and-out slugfest. I mean, like, I had to fight myself to keep reading it. But I thought to myself, I spent the $25 for the three books. I'm two-thirds of the way through this story. I've got to see how this one ends. And I mean, like, even if it stinks and even if I'm wasting all these hours reading this book, I got to do it right through to the end, right? I mean, that's just the way things work. I mean, what kind of guy would I be if I just cut things off at the end just because things started to suck after a while? The end. That's the end of my story, and I'll get to the point of that story. We'll leave you in suspense. Stick around. We'll talk more about that later. All right. So I have got a special guest for you all. And we are interviewing the singer of the outro song. So take a listen to this.
Who's in that chair? Who's tea talking to? Who's in that chair? Maybe veteran, maybe new. Who's in that chair? Who's in that chair? Who's in the chair?
All right, on today's show, I have got a special guest, and this is a voice that you should all be very familiar with, not so much from Hanshin Tigers, but from H10. This is ukulele punk girl. This is Aki. She is the one who does our closing song. So we are so glad to have her with us. We just want to talk a little bit about her music career and stuff that's going on with her. So welcome to the show, Aki.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's good to hear your speaking voice as opposed to your singing voice, although both are very nice to listen to.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, anyways, you play the ukulele and you're doing the music thing. How did you make your start in music?
Okay, so it's kind of a long story, but music was always a part of my life. I started playing piano when I was 3 or 4. And mm-hmm. flute in junior high school. But what okay. triggered me to really want to do music professionally was something that happened when I was in high school. So a few of my friends went to the specialty music high school, and okay. they asked me to sing for their Judy and Mary cover band at their school event.
Judy and Mary, cool.
Yes, nice. Punk rock. was really, really nervous to sing in front of so many people. But at the same time, I was so excited.
So how many people were there?
Like 100.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty big. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and it felt really good to sing in front of those people, even though I was nervous. And also that at that event, I realized how some of the people who are in my age knew what they really wanted to do, and they were pursuing their dreams already. Uh-huh. And that inspired me to want to become a professional musician.
So, like, did you have a dream at that time before you wanted to become a pro musician, or were you kind of just without?
Yeah, I wasn't thinking about my future.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, yeah, and this was a bit of a problem with my parents, as you might imagine.
Wanting to pursue music?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. My plans involved changing high schools and spending lots of money to take vocal lessons and even moving away from home. So my dad especially resisted, and for months and months I unsuccessfully tried to get his support for my dream.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, then one day we were sitting around our apartment and my mom turned on the news, and it was 9/11, and the terrorist attacks in America were happening, and we watched the second plane hit.
Uh-huh.
On the TV, and we were really just stunned, and we were saying, like, is this really happening? Then we got real quiet, and my dad turned to me and said, I guess we never know what is going to happen to us in our lives, so maybe you should pursue your dream after all. So, yeah, that's support. Yes, that is really heavy. Yeah.
Wow.
That made him really think. Yeah. So I went ahead with my plan full stream, and I started vocal lessons, moved away from my family and closer to my school.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I worked part-time to pay the bills. And
this is all as a high schooler?
Yes.
Wow.
I was, I think, 16. I just turned 16, I think.
Okay, you're giving away your age. That's okay.
Yeah, sorry.
No, you're a lot younger than me and everybody else listening, maybe, so it's cool.
Yeah, so about the ukulele. So one payday, I went to a music store, not intending to buy anything, but I saw this ukulele and started playing it.
Uh-huh.
And just fell in love with the sound and the size, because I'm a small person, so I had tried to learn guitar, but I just failed.
Okay.
And I ended up spending a big chunk of my paycheck to buy it. And yeah, I was worried about how I was going to eat for the rest of the month.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
That's hardcore.
Yeah. See, I was young.
Yeah, yeah. That's a young person's decision right there.
But, yes.
Obviously, it paid off.
Yes. Great. Yeah. So, I knew I had to learn how to play, because I had spent so much money on it and I had less food to eat because of it.
That's kind of like self-imposed pressure in a way. Like, well, you know, like
you
spent all that money and you better make it worth it, or you better succeed at it or whatever. So,
yes.
Yeah.
So
did you take ukulele lessons anywhere, or were you self-taught?
No, I self-taught. Yeah.
Wow. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. I guess this is giving away our ages as well, but probably by the time you were getting really into the instrument, you know, YouTube and stuff was already around, whereas for me, it definitely wouldn't have been. But, you know, do you find yourself watching YouTube videos and picking up techniques from other people, or?
Well, I didn't do that back then because, we didn't have YouTube, but now I do.
Yeah,
because I call myself ukulele punk girl, so I have to get, you know, good at it.
Well, I guess if people are doing a ukulele search on YouTube, you're going to come up too. And so, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool. Yeah. So we're going to put, we always put Aki's YouTube channel in the show notes, but we're going to do that again as well and really put it in big and bold so that everybody goes and checks it out and listens to some of the other stuff. But all right, well, so let's move into our actual show. And we've been using your song at the end of the show called Yuyake. Yes. Can you tell us a bit about that? And thanks, by the way, for letting us use it.
Yeah, I'm so happy you used it.
Yeah.
So Yuyake was one of the first songs I wrote after I started writing songs again in late 2014.
Okay.
I was visiting America, and of course I brought my little ukulele with me. Uh-huh. And I found an audition for a character on a short animation film, but I didn't meet all the requirements, so I couldn't audition.
Was that a Japanese animation or American?
Yes, Japanese.
Japanese, okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay, sorry,
yeah,
go ahead.
But I wondered if they would need a song for their animation, so I wrote a song on their theme, and that was Yuyake. And
okay.
I didn't send the song to them in the end, but I'm glad I wrote the song because it made its way your podcast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. we're glad you wrote it too, because it's a great way to end the show every week. And I think people know, like, when your voice kicks in, they're like, oh, we made it to the end of the show. And then they can enjoy a sweet ending. So that's really great. So we appreciate that a lot.
All right.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome. Mm. So now I hear that you've got a new album coming out, or maybe it's already come out. Tell us a little bit about your new project.
Yes, so I just released my debut album on June 29th on Teasterfield by T-Talk Records.
Okay.
Yeah, I covered 12 hit Japanese songs from the 80s and the 90s from artists like the Blue Hearts, Southern All-Stars, Tsuyoshi Nagabuchi, and Princess Princess.
So this CD then, it came out on the 29th of June. And obviously now it's available, but how can people get it? And like, what's the name of the album, or what's your artist name? Can you share a bit of that with us as well?
Yes. So my artist name is Aki Bubek, or in Japanese, Bubek Aki. Mm-hmm. And you can buy the CD on my website, akibubek.com, or Amazon, or Tower Record. Yeah, anywhere you look for a CD.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Very cool. Very cool.
Sorry. And my album name is Kiss Shite Hoshii.
Kiss Shite Hoshii.
Yeah. Same title as the Blue Hearts Kiss Shite Hoshii song.
Okay. And I think if I'm not mistaken, you have a video of that on YouTube already because you recorded that on your own at your place or something? Or?
Yes, I did. Yeah. I covered right. with my ukulele.
Right. So if you want to listen to that kind of the raw original one from Aki Bubek, go to her YouTube channel and find it. Very cool. So actually what we're going to do, Aki, I'm really excited about this album and I want to share it with everybody. So I actually want to offer a copy of this album. And would you mind signing it before I receive it?
Oh, I'm happy to do that.
Okay, great. So it's going to be an originally autographed copy of Aki Bubek's new CD. And it's going to be available to you for free. All you got to do is retweet this podcast episode on your Twitter account or share it on your Facebook account, and you'll be in the draw for this free CD, and I'm sure you will not regret it. It's just one click of the button for you, and you can get yourself 12 awesome tunes from an awesome singer. So look forward to that. I'll remind you guys again at the end of this show, but how's that sound, Aki? That's going to be one of your first sales, or
yay,
maybe
yay,
not.
Yay.
Hopefully within the first 1,000, but yeah. Very cool, very cool.
Yeah, that's fun.
All right. Now, one more thing, Aki, before we let you go. I heard rumors somewhere that you were thinking about maybe writing a song for H10 as well. Is that true?
Yes, I'm working on the song.
Yeah,
actually.
Awesome.
Yeah, so the song won't be, Setsunai or a sad song like Yuyake.
Right, right.
It will be a happy, cheerful song.
Well, we might need a sad song for this season.
Oh!
I'm just kidding. No. Honestly, yeah. But anything you send to us is just going to be so awesome. It's going to be really cool. So we're looking forward to it.
You.
But
yeah.
Thanks just for supporting H10, just the way that you do. Yeah. Are you a Tigers fan by chance, or?
Yes, of course. I was born in Kobe. So
oh, yeah.
Yes, Of course.
That kind of makes you an automatic Tigers fan. Right on. Well, definitely, you know, like, you know, myself and your husband, we've been to the game together before, but we'll have to do like a, you know, like a group thing where we bring in Aki Bubek and maybe some of the H10 listeners and they get a chance to do a meet and greet with, yes, with an upcoming star in the music industry.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah, sure.
Okay, well, we'll get the wheels turning on that. And in the meantime, everybody, remember, retweet or share this on Facebook and you get a chance for a signed CD from Aki Bubek. It's going to be a good one. And it is now out. June 29th was the release date. So if you don't win the CD or if you can't wait to win it, go and get it yourself. Go check it out. Amazon. Is it available on iTunes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. iTunes, yeah. Tower Records, you name it. Go to akibubek.com, I think was the name of it you said. Yeah, we will put that in the show notes as well. So check it out. Aki, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, for sure. Fun. Anytime. All right. All the best to you. Excellent. So just to get a reminder, and I'll remind you all again at the end of the show, but if you retweet this episode, if you share this episode on Facebook, you're automatically entered in a draw to win an autographed copy of the CD. How'd you like that, Jimbo?
Loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. I really love her song on the end of the podcast. Well, I always get a listen. Got to listen to the end.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. It's a great voice to end the show on. In fact, and you know, the new CD, I had to listen to it today. You know, as we heard, it just came out earlier this week, and I got my copy actually just today from Aki herself. And yeah, it's pretty good. There's some really good tunes in there, some really cool arrangements, stuff like that. So I think whoever ends up with this CD in their hands, you know, and especially an autographed copy, limited edition, you're gonna love it. So retweet or share it. All right, let's move on. Jimbo, we have not even talked Hanshin Tigers yet on this show. We talked about some literature and we talked to a musician. Let's get into some sports now, shall we?
I'm ready for it.
All right, we are going to look at the week that was for the Hanshin Tigers. Recap time. So, we actually had 5 games this week because, Jimbo, as I actually correctly predicted on last week's show, we'll have 1 rainout against the DeNA Bay Stars. Sure enough, true to form, we had a rainout on Wednesday. So, let's go right into Tuesday's action. This one was at Koshien Stadium, and we brought Randy Messenger to the mound. And it was a rainy one, actually. I kind of wasn't sure if they were going to play this one, but I'm kind of glad they did because, man, did Randy ever look good. 5 straight perfect innings, not a single walk, not a single hit through 5 innings. And we, for our part, in the bottom of the third, scored 2 runs. One was on a Gomez grounder. The next one was on a double by Tsuyoshi Nishioka. So we're up 2-0 after 3 innings. And then in the fourth inning, the very next inning, on a... it was 1 out with a runner on third, and Takayama hit a sac fly to center. But then after that, we actually got some more action going on, and with 2 outs and a runner on third, Gomez hit one to left field, so he got his 2nd RBI of the game. We're up 4-0, and like I said, Randy was perfect through 5, but then in the 6th inning, man, he ran into some serious problems. Just to recap that real quick for you guys, he walked the leadoff guy, and I just remember how disappointed he was when it happened. He was like, ah, it's finally over, my perfect game. Then he allowed a hit, and so now all of a sudden it's 4-3. They've still got guys on base. There's still no outs in the inning, but he induced a pop-up. He got a strikeout and then a grounder. So he got out of the inning. It's still 4-3. We've still got the lead, and then in the bottom of the 7th, the Tigers helped him out a little bit more. Hojo hit a sac fly to center, which scored another run. So it's 5-3, and that's how this one ended. Dolis got the save, pitching a clean inning, and that one goes in the books, and we're back in the on the winning side of streaks. Any thoughts on this game, Jimbo?
Well, definitely, that was a good feeling to see one of our pitchers go so deep and pitching just flawlessly, at least for 5 straight innings. That was phenomenal to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a little heartbreaking might be a little too strong, but if we remember I don't remember how long ago it was, but when Iwasada did the little flip with his glove to the catcher, who probably was Haraguchi at the time, we got caught in a rundown.
Yep.
It was nice to see Iwasada get the glove flip. When that glove flip, goes well, it looks amazing. Well, that guy is a superstar.
Yep.
You know where I'm going with this.
Yes.
Messenger tried to do the glove flip. When you do it well, it's great. When you do it bad, when you do it poorly, they get another base.
Yeah.
Or they score a run or something like
both,
that.
Yeah.
I don't blame him for that. I don't get upset with Messenger for it.
Sure.
But, you know, it's like you got to – either you're going to be the hero or –
Yeah.
He
flipped it good and wide too. Like it wasn't even
close. It wasn't even close. So that was tough. But I'm happy about the win. I think that was finally something happened. And you had your prediction with the rainout. I had my prediction with the Messenger game, and I was happy to be right about that.
Absolutely, yes. Yes, indeed. So Randy actually went one more inning after that really tough one that he had in the sixth, and he pitched that one perfectly as well. So six out of his seven innings were absolutely clean. The other inning, unfortunately, he allowed four hits and one walk. But that was it. Those were the only blemishes on his record. He actually struck out 10 as well. So he just looked like he was in control. And even though the rain was pouring down, he was just pouring it on. And he mastered the Bay Stars. It was just that one inning. I don't know if, like, just a completely different guy showed up on the mound or what. Like, Randy impersonator or what. But he didn't look like the same guy. I don't know. I think maybe the walk got to him. Interestingly, the commentator actually said, I think it was even going into the sixth. I think he totally jinxed it. He said, you know, Randy has not allowed a runner yet, but once he does, that could really, make him a bit uncomfortable on the mound and things could happen still for the Bay Stars. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. But
yeah,
that's okay. We take the win, we run with it, and we take an extra day off because of the rain. So, you know, everybody's rested and we should be good and ready to go for Thursday. I was actually at this game with a bunch of H10 friends, Jimbo. I went with Wizzo and then a few other people from the Hanshin Tigers game day group. And one guy actually was unable to show up, which is kind of unfortunate. So we had extra leg room, but a little bit less noise in the first base Alps. Anyways, we brought Iwazaki to the mound and they brought a former Hanshin Tiger, Yasutomo Kubo, to the mound. And they actually did great against Iwazaki because in the very first inning, in the top of the inning, they got a hit. Then they got an out and then a hit. So they actually scored a run in the very first inning. So it was kind of cheesy though, because it was like they got the hit. The first grounder got him to second. The second grounder got him to third. And then the hit that got him home was an infield hit to Tsutsugo of all guys, who's not very fleet footed, but I mean, he just hit it to the very corner of the infield, and it just happened to be a little bit too far for Hojo to throw him out. But it was an unfortunate way for them to take the lead. Anyways, they actually extended their lead in the second inning, and that was also really unfortunate because what happened was they got a couple of hits, actually, but none of their hits were really, like, awesome. They got a couple of bloops to right field, and they were kind of over first base, but they were definitely far out of Fukudomi's range. And then even their RBI one as well. I mean, the pitcher, Kubo, was up for them. And the infield was drawn in, and the outfield was actually drawn in as well, I believe. And he just hit one to where nobody was, and they scored a run. So it's 2-0 after two innings. Real unfortunate. And then in the top of the fourth, they led off with a solo home run. That was really their only good hit off of Iwazaki. So I feel kind of bad because he gave up, I think it was 7 hits over 6 innings, but only one of them was a real solid hit, and that was that home run. Anyways, 3-0 for them, and actually that's the ball game right there. That's the final score. And did you notice we didn't talk at all about the Tigers' bats? The reason is we got all of 3 hits in this one, none of which came until the sixth inning, we finally got a guy on base, Hojo, with an infield hit. And then in the seventh, we got a guy on base. That was Fukudomi with a hit. And then in the eighth, we got a guy on base, and that was Hojo with a hit. And that's it. We got one single in each of 3 innings, not a single walk, not a single advancing of the runner, nothing. 3-0. Any thoughts on this one, though, Jimbo?
There's not a lot to say about it. Just like you said, I mean, there's not even a silver lining. Well, I guess the silver lining is our relievers.
Yeah.
Stopped them cold.
3 straight innings of.
If we had had some bats, we might have had something. But, you know, that completely changes the game, of course. But just looking at this, I mean, Mateo, Enokida, and Ito, three scoreless innings, perfect. Kept them in check.
Yep.
So, I mean, I guess that's the silver lining. Other than that, like, just like last week, I still think our bats, they're just, I don't know what's, they just can't find their swing. We just can't find our swing. I don't know if it's timing. I don't know if it's...
Yeah.
I'm not a coach. I'm not a batting coach.
Well, I think on this one it was timing. I'm not a batting coach either. Newsflash. But they actually, the Tigers grounded out 5, 7, 9, 11, 12, 12 times in this game. So I think that means that your timing is off because you're hitting the, you know, the top of the ball or whatever. You're swinging too soon, I think is the generally the case, especially against a guy like Kubo who has a lot of off-speed stuff and a lot of stuff that, you know, is going to find the dirt or whatever. So we are swinging at bad pitches. One thing I'd like to talk about is Egoshi's pinch hit in the bottom of the eighth. And it wasn't a real crucial timing because we were down 3-0. We had one guy on base, two outs. But Kubo gave him three pitches. They were all off speed. They were all in the dirt. He swung at all three. I mean, it was like watching a GIF, and it was just like on a loop. It was the exact same pitch, and he swung all three times and missed all three times miserably. It was awful. So, and that was Egoshi's first appearance, I believe, since being called up, or his first plate appearance. And he looked terrible. He looked absolutely terrible. So we'll talk a little bit more about Egoshi as we get into the next series against the Chunichi Dragons. But so we went 1-1 against the DeNA Bay Stars. You know, this is a team we were 7-3-1 against until this series, and now we're 8-4-1. So we're still, you know, we're still winning against them and winning, you know, more often than we're losing. But, you know, it was kind of unfortunate. I would have liked to have seen another win while I was at Koshien, but it just wasn't in the cards tonight, so, or that night. So that's that. Let's move into the Chunichi series. So we go into Nagoya, and we bring Fujinami to the mound, and they bring Jordan Noberto, who just goes by Jordan. And actually, this one was very clean for a long time. Five innings of nothing. Actually, I think the teams, if I'm not mistaken, combined for one hit through five innings. And that was a first inning single by Toritani.
Toritani!
Toritani with a hit. Yes, I knew. Were you clapping bats there?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes. Well, I knew all those consecutive innings would pay off. I mean, it definitely pays to play every inning. And
that's what it's got to be.
He's proving it.
That's what it's got to
be. He's proving it, man. You know, you play every inning and you're going to get those leadoff singles every now and then. So good for you, Toritani. Thanks a lot for that.
I wish it would last the rest of the game.
Yes.
Hint, hint.
Yeah, for sure. Well, so, okay, sorry. Actually, in the fifth, Fujinami did run into a little bit of a jam, but he got out of it all right. It was actually bases loaded with two outs. It's only because he intentionally walked the catcher in order to face the pitcher, whom he struck out. But, you know, he was just inches away from hitting a bases-clearing double, actually, that being Jordan Noberto. But fortunately, it was foul, and then he struck him out. So in the sixth inning, Fujinami really ran into some big-time trouble. There was an error on the opening guy, and that was a Fujinami error. And then they went hit, RBI hit, three-run home run, hit, hit. And then finally, Fujinami said, "Hey, wait a minute. I'm supposed to get outs here, aren't I? Is that how I get us back to the bench? Okay, strikeout, strikeout, strikeout," and the inning was over. But, you know, the damage was done. Four runs on five hits plus an error. And actually, that was the end of Fujinami's day. So he went six innings, three earned runs, four runs total. And we continued to stink. We got a walk in the seventh. That's about it. Then in the bottom of the seventh, they got two more runs. These were off of Ito. And I think there was also an error in play here or a wild pitch in play here as well. But they got two more runs anyways. Yeah, it was a wild pitch. Sorry. And then in the top of the eighth, we said, okay, enough is enough. Let's fight back. You know, it's 6-0 and we're embarrassed here. Haha, whatever. So Toritani actually scored us a run on, what was it? Oh, it was a ground out. It wasn't even a hit. He actually busted up a double play and a run scored on that because we had runners on the corners. And then we got another hit when Hayata Ito hit an RBI triple off the wall. It was a really nice hit. that was it, 6-2. And then in the bottom of the eighth, they scored another run, and Toritani committed another error. And that was it, 7-2, final score. We lose badly, and we only get 3 hits again. That's your comment, right?
Hum? Yep, that's my comment.
Okay.
For me, what is there to say?
Yeah.
These scoreless 5 innings that we had, and the scoreless 5 innings with Messenger were pretty similar, except for the 5th. Wow, and yeah, a lot fewer strikeouts.
Yeah.
But, and then, you know, it's kind of similar even when you get into the 5th, because, well, not really the 5th, but that would be the 6th in the Messenger game.
Yeah.
In that, you know, he starts getting people on base, and you start thinking it's going to fall out, it's going to all unravel, but then Fujinami somehow stops it. You know, he strikes out the pitcher looking.
Yeah.
Right? With bases loaded. We're, oh, thank goodness. Fujinami, he didn't break down.
Mm-hmm.
Until the next inning. And then he did break down, yeah, and that's not a happy sight. And opposed to the previous game, the relievers didn't even give us a little sunshine there.
The reliever, yeah. It was only one
guy. Yeah, sorry, actually. The reliever. Yeah. That's right. They left him in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we didn't get to play he didn't get to pitch a ninth.
That's right, yeah. And actually, it was also similar to Messenger's outing in that in the 6th inning, yeah, I mean, it was right from the start. It was no outs, and they just went consecutive base runners.
Yeah.
And then at the end, both of them kind of snapped out of their funk. And, you know, Fujinami got the 3 straight outs to end the 6th, and Messenger did the same a couple days before against DeNA. So, yeah, kind of similar in that sense, but it just didn't look good as far as our hitters go. We can't hit this Jordan Norberto guy to save our lives because I think he's kind of got our number down the last 2 times we've faced him. It was a tough one. Let's move on to Saturday. I don't want to talk any more about this one. We brought Nomi to the mound for this one, and we were facing Oguma, who is definitely not a great pitcher for them. He's kind of struggled this year, and I was really expecting that we were going to make a mess of him. And actually, we did all right in the sense that in the top of the 2nd inning, we actually got things going. Fukudome with a leadoff double, Nishioka brought him in, and then a couple of batters later, Okazaki actually took a walk, but on that ball 4, Oguma threw a wild pitch, so a 2nd guy came home, and then we had a chance at more runs, but Takayama hit into a double, or pardon me, a grounder to end the inning, so 2-0 heading into the bottom of the inning, and Nomi said, I don't really like this whole having a lead thing, so I'm going to give up a 2-run home run. And so this guy named Fukuda, who's not a power hitter, he took him deep. It cleared the fence, not by a whole lot, but it was a well-hit ball. You know, home runs are something that I'm getting used to seeing, just not from our hitters. And so there we go. It's 2-2, and Nomi all of a sudden just buckles down big time. And in the 5th, the team helped him out. So here's the situation. We have got actually bases loaded with 1 out. And Hayata Ito is coming up. And he's actually a Nagoya boy. So his family is watching this one. And he hits a dribbler to pitcher. Actually just past the pitcher. The pitcher almost got his glove on it. But it was enough to earn an infield hit, an RBI, and a 3rd run scores for the Tigers. So now it is 3-2, and we keep the lead the rest of the way. Nomi actually went clean through 6, like the rest of the innings. And then, again, our relievers, I don't know, I was actually just beside myself watching Fujikawa in the 8th inning strike out the side, and that strike out the side included Viciedo and Nanita. He hit a guy in between, but he struck out 3 to get out of the inning. So 3-2 win, and it's good. We didn't actually get on a big losing streak there. We actually stopped it at 1 loss. Any thoughts on this one, Jim?
Again, even when we score a few, it's not so exciting. I mean,
no.
Like you said, with the Ito one, we had 4 walks. Sorry, 3 walks before that. We got bases loaded by walking.
Yep.
I mean, that's fantastic. Great eyes, guys. Way to be patient. Way to hold off.
Yeah.
But, you know, you'd like to see some hitting in that. And like you said, Ito's hit wasn't even very good. I mean, look, just watching it, I thought if the pitcher didn't even touch it, it might have been an out.
Yep.
It might have been an out.
And if he'd been able to clean it, field it cleanly, it would have been an inning-ending double play.
Yeah. It would have been no doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, the game-winning RBI being that one, and then him being hero of the game, it was kind of an embarrassing way to end this one. It was really funny.
I was watching it and was like, who could possibly be the hero? Because Nomi didn't do that bad, but he didn't do that well.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, my only thought was it's got to be Ito. He's the one who, you know, for better or worse, put us ahead. So he's got to be the hero. And that's what it was.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it doesn't always go to the best player. It just goes to the one that had the best time to hit, I guess, or the best time to out or whatever it might be. So in this one, Fukudome got 3 hits, which is kind of nice to see. He also walked once. But also, just something to mention, Tsuyoshi Nishioka in the 3rd inning wasted a golden opportunity. We had bases loaded with no outs, and he grounded out to pitcher, and it was a 1-2-3 double play, which means no runs scored on his double play. So we got no runs in that inning, even though we loaded the bases with no outs. And then in the 5th inning, we loaded the bases with 1 out. Like you said, we had their pitcher basically gave us full bases. And the only run we managed was on that little dribbler by Ito. So even the next guy up was Hojo with the bases loaded and 1 out. And he hit into an inning-ending double play. So bravo for us. And then again, in the 8th inning, we got another double play. This one was by everybody's favorite, Toritani. But, you know, to his credit, he got a hit in this game. Again, that's a 2-game hitting streak, I believe. And also, he also got a walk. And we know how valuable those are, right?
Yeah, he gets those every game. That's one thing you can count on. Yep. Toritani's going to get a walk, and he's going to get, if somebody's on base, it's going to be a sacrifice fly. If it's not, he's just going to pop it up somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. Those are the only times he seems to hit the ball in the air. But anyways. Yeah. So, again, Egoshi comes up as a pinch hitter in this one, and again he strikes out, and again, I think he might have fouled one of those pitches off. But anyways, and by the way, on Friday he also pinch hit, and in that one he walked, and he did not swing his lumber once. So, on Thursday he swung at 3 bad pitches, on Friday he swung at nothing, and in this one he struck out swinging. And then actually, before we get into Sunday's game and Sunday's results, we'll just talk about Egoshi now that we're on the topic. Egoshi struck out looking his first time up to bat. And then he struck out swinging his second time up to bat on Sunday. So since being called up, I know he's only been, you know, coming in relief or as a pinch hitter, but he is 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts and a walk. Not looking good at all, is he?
No, he's not looking good at all. And you can say he's only coming in as a reliever, but if we go back, I think that was April when he was just coming in as a reliever. It might have been March. When he would just come in and hit home run. Come in, hit a home run. Come in, hit a home run. It was just... You could just call it. Egoshi's coming in, pinch hitter, home run. Now it's yeah, those were all, what was that, all in March and April, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Since then, he's gone, I believe, 0-for.
He's cold. He is on a big-time cold streak.
May, June, and July, he's pulling a Toritani.
yes, he has. So that's a real sore spot, I guess, because, you know, this is a team that lacks power, and you look at guys like Egoshi who, you know, he's got the potential. We saw it earlier in the year, and we saw it even last season, and he's just come up and laid eggs, big time, goose eggs big time, so it's been terrible. And so that's a real tough spot for us, for sure. Well, instead of dwelling on Egoshi, let's move into Sunday's game. Let's finish up our recap here, and then we can talk about Egoshi some more if you'd like. So Sunday, probably not. So Sunday,
I had my fail.
We bring Iwasada to the mound, and you know, this is our one guy that was definitely big time steady for the start of the season. He was the guy we could count on, and I think people are still remembering that. However, as we'll talk about in a little bit, he has been pretty bad lately, and today was no exception. So actually, though, we spotted him a one-run lead. Gomez, again, with another RBI. So he actually had a decent number of ribs this week. And he hit one to left field for an RBI. And then Iwasada said, you know what? I don't like playing with leads either, just like Nomi. So I'm gonna give one up in the bottom of the inning. And he gave up a sac fly to Vicieto. So it's 1-1 after one inning. And then in the bottom of the third, that's when Iwasada said, you know what? I don't even like playing with tie games. And so, what the heck? I mean, like, he started with a strikeout, but unfortunately the ball got past Haraguchi. And so Oshima, who struck out, actually got on base. And then it was walk, hit, walk. Bases loaded home run to the same guy that Nomi gave a home run up to. And this home run was a no-doubter. And this guy just killed it. Fukuda is his name. And so now all of a sudden it is 6-1 heading into the top of the fourth. And the Tigers said, well, we'll fight back with some singles. Look out. Oh, no, wait. Let's give you a double two. So Takayama hit he hit one to the left center gap. It was a two-run RBI double. Our first extra base hit of the game. One of only two. So now it is 6-3. Look out. But that was all the fireworks for the Tigers. We got two more hits the rest of the way and one plunked batter. So things didn't go well for us. On the other hand, our relievers said, we've been doing so well this week. You know, we don't want to give our fans too much to hope for. We got to go back to how we were. And so Ando came in and gave up a home run. And then Tsutsui, making his debut, says, hey, how about if I start us with a walk? And then he gave us hope because they got a double play, and then he gave up another walk. And then Vicieto hit a single to right field, and their guy scored from first base on a single. So that made it 8-3. Obviously, the Tigers were showing that they had no life and no fight left in them, and that was how this one ended. And so we end the week on a loss. We end the week 2 wins and 3 losses. It ended exactly as I predicted, in a sense. I said we'd go 1-1 against the Bay Stars with the rainout and 1-2 against the Dragons, and bingo for me. I hate being right.
Nice job.
Thanks. Well, you were pretty close to right, too. You said 1-2 in each series, and had we played that other game against the Bay Stars, you might have been the bingo man.
Yeah. Yeah, I predicted that we would, but I also predicted that we would win the Iwasada game, and yes. I was way off.
Well, yeah, I'll cut you some slack on that, because you said we'd win the Messenger game, and you are exactly right. I, on the other hand, did not say which games we'd win. I just said we were going to win one. So, so good on you. Yeah, I mean, we both had a pretty good prediction week, but the Tigers had a pretty awful week, because our losses were completely ugly. 3-0, 7-2, and 8-3. And our wins were kind of skinny. I mean, we had a 5-3 win on Tuesday, which was our best game of the week by far. And then our 3-2, where we should have actually been able to score at least 7 or 8 runs, and we didn't. So let's run down some numbers here. And they're very inaccurate because I haven't had time to look them up. Yay, fatherhood. So the Tigers have gone, I think it is 26 straight games without scoring more than 5 runs in a game. In a single game for 26 straight. That's terrible. The Tigers have not had a winning week, meaning above 500, since the week of April the 19th. Go Tigers! And also, they now again are on another homerless streak. They got no home runs on the entire week. Go Tigers! So it's been really tough to be a Tigers fan, for sure.
I think we only had 4 home runs for the entire month.
Yeah, for all of June, we had 4 home runs, and I think 2 of those came in the first 2 games of the month.
Yeah.
So after that, yeah, 2 homers the rest of the way. And, you know, we've only played 3 in July, but we got none in 3 games. So, and we have 3 against, so at least, you know, people that watch the Tigers games get to see home runs hit by someone. Anyways, let's try to go a little bit positive here, shall we?
Okay.
Every week, one tiger stands above the rest. He elevates his game to another level. He is the player of the week.
You want to choose a player of the week, Jimbo?
Player of the week!
Yes.
As if. Well, I mean, I think it's obvious from what we do.
It's Egoshi, right? No. Toritani.
Oh, boy. You know what? If Toritani took himself out of the lineup, I would make him player of the week. if he would stand up like a leader should and say, I'm not playing up to scratch. This is not, you know, this is not the level of baseball I should be playing as the captain, as your leader. I'm going to sit myself down because team comes before my record. Team comes before that. If he would do that, you know, okay, player of the week, player of the month. You know, but
captain of the year.
If you're just going to go out and like he said in that interview, if you're just going to go out and go, you know what, you play every game and then you break out of these things. Well, you haven't done it. You haven't done it all year. I mean, you're hitting. He's hitting around what, 220 since May.
I don't know. He's 233 on the year. 230. Yeah, that counts. Yeah. That counts today. He's 233 on the year.
He was hitting 255 in March and April, and then May 225, and June 224, and July is 167. But that's one game. That's three games.
It would be one game if he were a man and sat himself, but it's three.
That's exactly. But I mean, you're hitting terribly. Sit down. You know. Think about it.
How's his fielding?
Take a rest. If his fielding was phenomenal, you know, if he was Ozzie Smith out there, I'd say keep him in. But, you know, just like, it's kind of like the Yamato thing from last year or the year before, when he was just fielding like crazy, but he couldn't hit squat. And that might have been Wada making him bunt all the time, but he couldn't hit anything.
Right.
But his fielding was phenomenal. Put him out there.
Yeah.
He saved us a couple games just with his glove alone. But Toritani can't say that. He can't say, well, my fielding's bad, but my hitting's good. And he can't say, my fielding's good, but my hitting's bad. He can't say that.
Right.
You know? But, sorry, while we're on the Toritani subject.
Let's go.
While we're on the Toritani subject.
Player of the week. No, I'm just kidding.
Player of the week, sorry.
No, it's okay.
Did you know that for May and June, Toritani has as many home runs as which Tigers player?
For May and June?
Sorry, I said, did you know, but that's the wrong phrasing. Which Tiger player has as many home runs as Toritani in May and June?
Yamato.
Gomez.
Oh.
He has the same amount of home runs in May and June as Gomez, 4.
I'm surprised he has 4.
Yeah, I know. Well, he's got 5 on the year, and he just blew up in May on home runs. But other than that, okay, sorry, player of the week.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Hey, that reminds me. The story I told in my intro about the girl with the dragon tattoo. The reason that I told that story is because it kind of reminds me of Toritani and his thing, you know, and he's got this streak going. He wants to reach the 700 consecutive games of playing every inning so he can be number 2 of all time. And it's like, you know what? He's come this far. Why don't we just let him play it out until he breaks the record, even though he sucks? Let's just keep putting him in there because the record. And once that's done, we can say, look at what a great record, what a great thing he's accomplished, even though he sucked for the last 1/3 of it. So that's the reason that I brought that up. Connection to the dragon tattoo.
So no bats are getting it this week. Last week it was all bats from us. No bats are getting it this week. Hands down, in my opinion, my lock of the week, Messenger. 7 innings, 10 strikeouts, only 1 walk. And there were only 2 earned runs in that game. So I think, hands down, Messenger had a phenomenal game. He is the player of the week.
It is tough to argue with you on that one. But I'm actually going to go with Fukudome, because Fukudome has actually hit the ball fairly well. The thing that has plagued him is that it seems to me like he's been leading off an awful lot of innings. And he hasn't had a chance to hit a lot with guys in scoring positions. So I don't think he has a ton of RBIs on the week or anything like that. But he went 1 for 3 today. He got 3 hits on Saturday. And then on Friday, I forget. I'm sorry. I forget. But I know he got one of our three hits on Thursday when I was at the game. So he has been hitting reasonably well. And Hojo is the only other guy that's actually been hitting fairly well. But I don't like to give it to him because one of the patterns that I've seen in Hojo, and I can't believe other pitchers don't catch on to this, he never swings at the first pitch. And 70% of the time, it's a first pitch strike. And then the next pitch, he tends to foul off. And so he ends up being 0-2 more often than not in his at-bats. And somehow he ends up still getting hits. But a lot of them end up being, you know, just these little singles. And that's about it. Like, he hasn't gotten a lot of power in his bat lately. So I'm going to go Fukudome. I like your pick with Messenger, but I'm going Fukudome.
Yeah, Fukudome. If there was one batter, it would be Fukudome.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, don't tell Randy's mom that I didn't pick him. Okay, thanks. If you're listening, Kathy, we love you. Anyways, so that's great. We've got our player of the week, but guess what, Jimbo? You are in to replace Joe. And at the end of every month or at the start of every month, we have chosen a player of a hitter of the month and a pitcher of the month. And June ended during this past week. And so the full month is over. Let's go over some of the numbers, if you don't mind, and we can talk a little bit about who we've got as our players of the month. So hitter of the month, who you got for us?
For hitter of the month, I think there's two choices you might have, and I think they're both pretty good choices.
Okay.
But I'm going to stick with Fukudome.
Okay.
He was my player of the week last week. He's your player of the week this week. I mean, he's been hitting really well. He's hitting .338 this month. No home runs, unfortunately, but he's got six doubles. He's really hitting it well. He's seeing the ball well. I mean, he's the one player, the one hitter that I think we can count on.
Yeah, his strikeout-to-walks ratio was 1-1, i.e. 7 walks and 7 strikeouts. And that matches his RBI total for the month as well, which was 7. But this is a month where we didn't generate a lot of offense. So, yeah, I would give it to him. He also had an on-base percentage of almost 400. So I'm giving it to Fukudome as well for a hitter of the month. By the way, you said it was kind of down to two guys. Who's the other guy that you thought was potentially deserving?
The other player of the week last week, Nakatani.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah, he had some really good games, but then he also had some kind of stinker games too.
Yep, so
he's kind of a tough one to choose, but I could see where you would want to do that. I mean, he did hit a home run. He had two doubles, and that was in very limited action. However, yeah, his strikeout to walk ratio was 11-1. So a little bit of a different story than Fukudome for sure. But yeah, so Fukudome, you the man. And how about for pitchers? Who you got for us there, Jimbo?
Well, pitcher of the month was a little more difficult, but not so much, in my opinion. Again, yeah. I think, if I remember correctly, the players of the week for this month for H10 has been like Messenger, Fukudome, Messenger, kind of like that. So I think it's hands down Messenger. If you look at his numbers from the beginning of the year to now, each month has successively gotten a better ERA. He started out at about 4. And then he went down to about 3.5, and now this month, 1.2. He's got 3 wins and 1 loss. I mean, 3 wins with the Tigers. That's pretty good.
I think, actually, the team only got 7 wins during the month of June.
Oh, wow. So then 3 of them are his.
Yeah, I think we went 7-13 in June, so yeah.
There you go. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's phenomenal. 37 strikeouts in the month. His whip of under 1, only 6 walks. I mean, He's one guy that's stepping up. He's really stepped it up. So I think Messenger, phenomenal job. Phenomenal job. He deserves the pitcher of the month.
Yes, he does. And, you know, just to tick Randy's mom off a little bit more, haha, kidding, I'm actually going to go with somebody different. And it's kind of surprising because who else could you go with, right? I mean, we didn't have a lot of great starting pitching outside of Randy. So I'm actually going to go into the bullpen. I'm going to dig deep because that's what diggers do. And I'm going to go with Rafael Dolis. And I'll run some numbers by you just to explain why. Again, no slight on Randy. He was absolutely awesome. And I really do think that he is pretty deserving. But our bullpen has been a huge problem all year. And even the closing role has been a big problem because if you remember, we had Mateo at the start. He kind of stank it up. His control was a big problem. He got into a lot of jams. And then by the end, everyone was like, okay, enough is enough. And then we brought in What was his name again? I kind of want to forget it. Yeah, Fujikawa, right? And he was absolutely brutal as well. That Laird home run is still burned into my memory as something that will remind me that he should never, ever pitch in the ninth inning again. But then Dolis comes in, and in June, he showed up in 10 games. He had one win, four holds, and four saves. So you can't record both of those in the same game. So that means that in 9 of his 10 games, he was instrumental in us winning. I don't know if... Can you only earn holds when you win? No, that's not true. But anyway, so he saved four of our 7 wins, right? And he won one of our 7 wins. So he played a big part in 5 of our 7 wins. He allowed one hit in 9 innings. He also walked 5 guys, but that's a side point. So his whip was 0.67. His batting average against was 0.036. Yeah, pretty impressive. So I think this is a guy that has finally, at least for now, anchored our bullpen and said, hey, at least the ninth inning is something that you can count on me for. And, you know, he's going to blow one or two before the end of the season. He's not going to go perfect the rest of the way. But for the month of June, he was definitely a bright spot. So I'm going with him.
That's a good pick. That's a good pick.
Thanks. I appreciate it. I thought I'd try and go a little bit outside the box. One more thing that's, I think, worthy of note. If you look at especially our hitter and pitcher of the month for last month, we said, it was myself and Joe, we said Haraguchi as hitter and we said Iwasada as pitcher. So Iwasada in May, by the way, he also won it in April, but in May, his ERA was 1 and he went 2-1 with 24 strikeouts in 27 innings pitched. And in a whip of 0.85. So he was great. In June, he had an ERA of 7.01. He pitched almost the same number of innings as he did in May. But he allowed 20 runs as opposed to 3. He walked 15 guys as opposed to 9. He struck out only 19 as opposed to 24. And he gave up 3 home runs, and 2 of the 3 were Grand Slam home runs. And he gave up another Grand Slam home run in July already. So Iwasada has definitely been on his way down. So ever since we picked him as our pitcher of the month, he's just been really tough. He's had a really tough stretch. And then Haraguchi, he hit 380, right? He hit 380, in the month of May, right? And then in June, he hit 250, which is not terrible. It's still above team average. Sad as that may be. And he went from 5 home runs and 17 RBI to 1 home run and 3 RBI. He also went from walking more than he struck out in May. He struck out 10 times, walked 11. In June, he struck out 14 times and walked once. So other teams have definitely figured him out. That's making things a lot tougher for us because he was definitely the cleanup guy we were hoping would bail us out or, you know, produce a lot of runs for us, and it didn't happen. So hopefully with our choosing Fukudome and Messenger and Dolis in June, I hope that does not curse them for July. So here we go, Jimbo. I actually have Fukudome on my fantasy team, and you've got Messenger on your fantasy team.
Yes.
And Zorni has Dolis on his fantasy team. So we all kind of had some bright spots on our teams. And it's been a while since we've actually done our fantasy update. So let's have a listen to the guys.
Hello, all you HDN fans. Jimbo here, ready for another exciting week of fantasy baseball. And if you want to know what the Tigers are thinking, here it is.
I quit. I quit. I quit. I quit, Mr. White.
Yes, yes, they all quit. Every single one of them. Oh, what's that, Zorni?
Nishioka!
Yes, Nishioka doesn't want to play anymore. He wants to quit.
Yamato!
Yamato! Where did he go? That's a good question. I think he What did you say before? You were talking about my team sinking like the Titanic. Let's look at our history lesson and see what happened to the Yamato. Why don't we? Yes, he is just like that amazing battleship that is at the bottom of the ocean. Thank you very much. There is one bright spot for the Tigers, and that would be the man, the myth, the legend, Randmas. Randy Messenger is pitching like there's no tomorrow. He hasn't quit. This man is on fire. His ERA in June was below 2. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. He's turning it on. And I think it's only getting better in July. He'll keep it up. He'll keep going. He is number one. Iwasada. Choo-choo! Yeah, that train's gone. See you later. Bye-bye. What was that? What was your ERA in June? Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. 7. That's right. That was pathetic, Iwasada. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. 3 times. 3 times. All right. The bell tolls for thee. Everybody, if you're ready for a winner, get aboard the Jimbo train, because this train is leaving, and only winners are allowed on board. See you later, guys.
Don't you want it? Don't you need it? Your fantasy. Tiger's Fantasy.
Hey, everyone. This is T-Ray, and this is your Fantasy Minute. Sorry to get all serious on everybody here, but I actually have a somewhat legitimate proposal for Mr. Tomoaki Kanemoto. Now, your team has no power threat whatsoever right now. Nobody's hitting home runs, particularly your cleanup hitters, who are my fantasy players, Mauro Gomez and Kosuke Fukudome. So send them, or particularly Mauro, down to the farm and bring up Matt Haig or someone like that. Let Mauro find his home run stroke again. Let him hit some really deep home runs against some really lousy pitching, but at least get him to find that swing again so that when he comes back up next time, he can start hitting the ball over the fence again. I'm tired of there being no home runs on the Ichigun squad. I'm tired of watching Hanshin Tigers baseball and the parade of singles where we hope to get 3 in one inning in order to score a run. Let's get some power going, Kanemoto. Come on, Aniki. Work with me here.
Hey everyone, it's your boy Zorny here, and here's the thing. Forget about hitters. It's no use to talk about them because they will keep hitting somehow. That doesn't mean they will score runs, but they will hit something. Let's talk about 2 things today, pitchers and consistency. I think the only guy that has some sort of a consistency is Jimbo's Randy Mass. What about the reliable and supposedly ace of the team, Iwasada? Forget it. When you're watching the game and you think the Tigers might have a chance of scoring some runs, boom, grand slam. I mean, it's everywhere. Like when you open the fridge to grab something to eat at night and then boom, grand slam. Like when you open a pack of chips and you open too much, you know, instead of chips flying, boom, grand slam. Again, in your face, flying all over the place. I mean, lately, I've been having some troubles to fall asleep because every time that I start counting chips, Iwasada shows up and I start counting grand slams. And it's horrible. Why are you doing this to me, Iwasada? Why? It's killing me!
All right. Well, it's kind of strange having 2 of the fantasy players also hosting the show. So it's not a variety of voices. I apologize for that. But thanks again, guys, for your contributions. And let's keep it going until the end of the year. All right. Let's wrap things up. Let's finish the show with some predictions. This week, Jimbo, we are going into Tokyo, into the Dome, for 3 against the Giants. Then we come back to Koshien, and we are going to host the Hiroshima Carp for 3. So, you know, I would say that we're going with the same six starters this week, except that we only had five starters this past week. So what do you think we are going to be doing against the Giants? What do you think we're going to be doing against Hiroshima? Any predictions?
Okay, so do you want predictions for pitchers, or you want predictions for...
For the record. Let's go for the record. Yeah.
Okay, so for the Giants, again, I'm sticking with Messenger. He had a phenomenal June. He usually pitches pretty well against the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's going to do all right. And actually our hitters, I think I was looking it up, and I think our hitters actually don't do so poorly in it's at home or away? Sorry.
This is away at the Dome, at Tokyo Dome. So here's something interesting, Jimbo. Yeah, Messenger's ERA at the Dome this year in two starts is 1.69. So he's definitely done well. He actually lost one of those, unfortunately, but that was only because our offense didn't come through. But I think in six games, we're 4 wins and 2 losses at Tokyo Dome so far this year. That's pretty good. And we're also not going to be facing Sugano since he pitched on Saturday.
Oh, that's good news.
So he won't be ready for us. Yeah, that's definitely good news. So in light of that, and in light of the fact that we will have Messenger on the mound for that series.
Okay. I'm going to go, I think Messenger is going to continue pitching well, and I think our batters are going to get enough done that we can eke out a win. Though there have been times where Messenger's pitched phenomenally, and our bats are so anemic that we get like zero. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm holding on to it. I'm going to ride what brought me here. I'm going with Messenger. I think he's going to get us the win, and our bats are going to do just enough to eke out a win. And you know what? On top of that, I think we're going to get a second win in Tokyo Dome. I think we're going to go 2-1 there.
Woohoo!
I don't know who the other pitcher is going to be exactly.
Right.
But I think we're going to get it. I don't think it matters. I think we're doing pretty well Tokyo Dome this year, and I think we're going to take it.
Yeah. Actually, I'm actually going to say yes to that as well. We'll probably go with Iwazaki as well, and Iwazaki has actually done decently against the Giants as well in his career. I think he had one start last year against the Giants, and then he's got one this year, and he actually shut them out for 6 2/3 this year. And that was actually at Tokyo Dome. So I'd love to see him repeat that. I can't guarantee that he will, but I'm actually going to say 2 out of 3 again. You know, this would be our first series win against a Central League team since the Tokyo Yomiuri Giants at Tokyo Dome before Interleague started. And I think it's going to happen. I think we're going to take 2 out of 3. Yeah, I'm being really optimistic despite the fact that I feel really pessimistic. Okay, so now we're coming back home against the Carp at Koshien. The Carp are red hot. The Carp have owned us at Koshien. We've actually done better in their barn than ours against them this season.
That's true.
So, I kind of have a feeling that this one is going to, as much as I would love to say it's going to go well and we're going to get even for that sweep that we took right on the jaw earlier this year, or just last week, I think it was, against them in their barn. I think they're going to take it to us, actually. And we have not had a winning record for the full week, like I said, since April 19th to 25th, and I don't think it's going to happen here. I think we might win one. And if we don't win one, it's going to be an 0-2-1. I don't think that they take 3 against us, but I don't think that we tie the series or win the series. So I'm going to say 1-2. I'll say we take 1.
1-2.
Yep.
This is at Koshien, right?
This is at Koshien.
Ah. Well, our pitchers don't usually do well against the Carp. And, well, especially at Matsuda Stadium, but...
Right.
But we're at Koshien. But even taking that into account, the Carp are just going crazy. Somebody lit a fire under them in the interleague, and it just keeps going. It's the eternal flame, and they just seem to find a way at the end of games to win. And even when their winning streak came to an end against the Occult, I mean, they were mounting a comeback. They had runners on. I thought for sure they were going to win it again. I mean, they just have that streak going.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with The Carp sweep us.
Ooh.
Carp sweep us. Ooh. I'm going with a 2-4 record again. We're going to do... Yeah, yeah. It's going to be... I can't imagine us having a 2-3 series against the Giants and then come back and get a win against the Carp. We can't have that much joy in 1 week.
We're not allowed to...
we're not allowed to have that.
No, not anymore.
When was the last time we went 3-3 in a week? Forever ago?
Sorry, the first week of Interleague.
First week of Interleague. So, yeah, that was... Yeah, long, long ago.
It was a month ago.
Yeah, I'm definitely going 2-4. We're going to get swept. Swept.
Okay.
By the Carp in Koshien. Koshien, I need somebody to explain to me why our bats never seem to work there, but the other teams always seem to be able to find out how to score.
And how to hit home runs, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I'm definitely getting tired of that as well. I mean, people will say, you can say all you want about, you know, Koshien's a big field or Nagoya Dome is a huge stadium, but guess who hit 3 home runs in this past series and guess who hit 0? Right. And guess who's getting, you know, the ball knocked out of the park against them at home? That home being Koshien. Yeah. So really, yeah, the Tigers definitely are not, they're just not finding their power game at all. And so, I wouldn't be surprised if they get swept, but I'm also not going to predict it. So there you have it. I say 3-3. Jimbo says 2-4. Let's see what happens in a week's time. Thank you for joining us today on the show. And thank you again to Aki Bubek for joining us at the start of the show. We appreciate it. Everybody, check out her new CD. You can find it on iTunes Japan. You can find it on Amazon.co.jp. I think you can find it at any other record stores as well. But more importantly than that, you can win yourself a free copy. And I already bought it. I got her to autograph it. I'll ship it to you. It's all on the house. It's all on H10's dime. If you retweet this podcast episode or you share it on your Facebook, you're in the draw. So go out and do that. Make sure you do that. Thank you, Jimbo, for joining. Thank you for filling in. And I hope that you have a great week, my friend.
Thanks a lot. Always a pleasure.
Yeah. Happy Independence Day to you and all the Americans out there. If you're listening on July the 4th. Yeah.
Hey!
Yeah, yeah. And all the best to you guys this coming year. And all the best to Joe as well. Thank you. And congratulations on your wedding. And we look forward to having you back hopefully next week, Joe, buddy. Take it easy. Everybody, have a great week.
ありがとうって今は言わせて